everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house. Can we hear it for the moms? I'm Pastor Carrie, Pastor Tim's wife, and I'm going to be speaking to you today. Tim and I were talking last night, and I was telling him how hard it is to be a girl. Does anybody agree with me? I was thinking about when guys get up and they get ready in the morning, they get up and they get in the shower and they use the same wash that they wash their body and their face, their hair with for their face, right? It's like 3-in-1. And girls, I was thinking of all the things we do to our face. Start counting how many things you put on your face every day. Just start thinking about it. Exfoliation, toner, daytime moisturizer with sunscreen. Then we start on the makeup, primer, foundation, concealer, powder. What else? Eyeshadow, blush, contouring, highlighting, eyebrows. Like, that's just the makeup. And then we got lips. We got to do all the lip things. Then you come home. Like, I have one friend that keeps makeup wipes in her car. She starts taking her makeup off on her way home. Isn't that smart? Right? Because you just can't wait to get home and do that. Then you do the mask, more toner, more moisturizer, right? I mean, already we're like at 20 things. It's hard to be a girl, isn't it? Let's celebrate women today. Let's give it up for the women. It's hard. If you have a middle school girl, tell her to wait for makeup, because once you start, you can't stop, right? Don't you wish you could go back? So today, I do want to, we have a giveaway today. I would like for everybody to look under their chair and see if you won. And if you're a man and you won, give it to the mom in your life. Oh, we got a winner right here. Katie, come up and get it. Can you bring it out? Let's hear it for our winner. Hey, ready for our gift? Sorry, they're supposed to bring it out. I'm ready for the gift now if you're ready to bring it out. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much. Here you go, Katie. Let's give her a round of applause. Happy Mother's Day. I love it. I love it. The second service will also, don't give it away that we have a giveaway. They'll be surprised, all right? So as we honor moms today, I wanted to read to you something that I found that I thought was really good and kind of sums up the tired mother. Is anybody tired? Somebody's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. Happy Mother's Day to me. I want like a 3-hour nap uninterrupted. Would that be nice, right? All right, so the tired mother, you guys listen to this for a second. Think about the moms in your life. Moms, see if you can relate to this. And if you're a child in here and you're with your mom, I want you to think of your mom and all the things that she does for you on a daily basis. And what would you do without her? All right, think through that. For the days when we're running on empty, for the days we just don't think we have it in us to read one more story, one more game of Uno, wash one more round of clothes, for the days when we think everyone else has it all together, for the days we're sure anyone else would do this job better, for those days, and you know the ones, repeat after me. Not really. It's rhetorical. Number one, I will not judge my house, my kids' summer activities, or my crafting skills by Pinterest standards. Can I get an amen? Mm-mm. Stay off Pinterest. It's not healthy for your mind. I will not measure what I've accomplished today by the loads of unfolded laundry, but by the assurance of deep love I've tickled into my kids. I will say yes to blanket forts and see past the chaos to the memories we're building. I will surprise my kids with trips to get ice cream when they're already in their pajamas. I will not compare myself to other mothers, but find my identity in the God who trusted me with these kids in the first place. I will remember that a messy house at peace is better than an immaculate house tied up in knots. It's okay to not mop your floor. Don't just let it go. It's okay, right? I will play music loudly and teach my kids the joy of wildly uncoordinated dance. I will remind myself that perfect is simply a street sign at the intersection of impossible and frustration in Never Neverland. Doesn't exist. I will embrace the fact that in becoming a mom, I traded perfect for a house full of real. I will promise to love this body that bore these children out loud, especially in front of my daughter. If you have a daughter, be careful. I will give my other mother friends the gift of guilt-free friendship. I will do my best to admit to my people my unfine moments. I will say I'm sorry when sorry is necessary. I pray, God, I shall never be too proud or angry or stubborn to ask for my children's forgiveness. I will make space in my grown-up world for goofball moments with my kids. I will love their father and make sure they know that I love him. I will model kind words to kids and grown-ups alike. I will not be intimidated by the inside of my SUV or minivan. This season of chip bags, goldfish crackers, and discarded socks shall pass. I will make time to encourage new moms. I will not resent that last call for kisses and cups of water because I will remember that pretty soon they're leaving for college. Let's hear it for the moms. Can you please stand up and give your mom, let's hear it. Let's stand up for our moms today. Thank you, moms. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, moms, for all that you do. At the end of the service, we've got a gift for you on the way out, so we'll make sure and direct you to those as you leave. So today, as we celebrate mothers, as we celebrate women, I wanted to come to you today and talk to you about a story in the Bible. I want to share this woman's story with you that I found, that I've been sort of digging through, and we can relate a lot to it because we've all been in a place where we've experienced frustration in our lives, right? Has anybody ever been frustrated about anything? Can you raise your hand? I'm certain all of us can do that. You know, there are times when mothers get frustrated. Do you think so? Moms, anybody want to admit that today? I am certain that I caused my mother a great deal of frustration. She has told me over and over again that by the time I was 10, she had read the book The Strong-Willed Child 4 times. Anybody have that girl, right? Anybody have that kid? One of my boys, I have 3, is very stubborn and persistent, which is a great trait to have in your life, right? Just gotta channel that in the right direction. He can ask the same question over and over. Anybody know my kids? Can guess which one it is? Love you. He's here. He's like, stop talking about me right now. Those are good traits, but sometimes they can be a little frustrating. So the story in the Bible that I wanna tell you about is a story where this woman experienced frustration for years on end. So I wonder if we can just ask ourselves, have we been in that place where we've experienced frustration and we've had this problem that we just could not solve? You ever had a problem you cannot figure out the answer to? You can't reason your way out of it. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't friend your way out of it. You're just stuck in a place of frustration, trapped in this infinite cycle over and over and over. So we're going to call this sermon today, Believe for Better. And we're going to read in Mark chapter 5. You can bring verses 25 and 26 up. And we're going to start her story. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. You can stop there. So this first point is the season of searching. The season of searching. Here is a woman. Let's set up our story and understand what we're talking about today. She had an incurable medical condition, one that had caused her to be an outcast of society, that isolated her from everyone. So her condition was such that she was basically considered unclean. She couldn't be around people. She wasn't allowed to touch anyone. Nobody was allowed to interact with her. Nobody could be in the same room with her. So surely this woman, if she was married, was forced into a divorce situation. She lived alone, away from everyone. And here she is, 12 years of this. She has this incurable medical condition. Does anybody in the room feel like if you have like an autoimmune disease, this is something you live with constantly? There's not really a cure. You just have to deal with the symptoms. This woman was one of those. And the frustration that she must have experienced must be just off the charts. And I wonder if we can think about things that we feel frustrated about, things that you might obsess about. Anybody obsess about things in here? Anybody like OCD? Like if everything's not in its place, you can't function and neither can anyone around you. You make everyone miserable. Does anybody know anyone like that maybe? You don't have to raise your hand if it's your spouse and they're right beside you. It's fine. It's fine. Let's keep that. I obsess about my gray hair. Like sometimes I have this patch of gray. Anybody, I cover it up. You never see it. But I have this patch of gray right here. And sometimes when it's time to get my hair done, Silas, my youngest, will be looking at me, talking to me, and I can see his eyes like, wandering up here. I'm like, hey, he's like, something's going on in your hair. I'm like, okay, thanks. I obsess about the gray hair. We obsess about weight. We obsess about diet and calories, right? All the time, constantly. There's so many things we might obsess about. And here we can relate to her because she's obsessing about this medical condition that she cannot find a way out of. She's in a season of searching for 12 long years. Searching for answers, searching for relief, searching for a life, just to have a life, because now her entire life has become about this problem. There is nothing else for her to do but sit in the middle of it. There is nothing else for her to do but dwell. White people give you great advice of don't dwell on your issues, try to move on, you know, think about something else, go to a happy place, pray about it, right? There's so many different advices. She can't get away from it. She sits in the middle of it, and really she's looking for relief and freedom from her suffering. Because what did the verse say? That she has suffered a great deal under the hand of many, many, many doctors. What are some areas in our lives that we might find ourselves searching? If you're looking for an answer to something. Some of you in here are single and you're looking for love, right? Single, ready to mingle, right? You're ready to find somebody. And you ask yourself, where do I find them? How do I find them? Where do I look? Who do I go to? Maybe you're married in here and you're looking for marital bliss, right? How can I have the perfect husband? How can I find the perfect wife? How can I make them into that? Now, nobody would ever say that. I'm just kidding. Right? You wouldn't ever ask yourself that. But we want the answer to these questions. Maybe you've got kids and you're parenting. If they're young, you're trying to figure out how to navigate these young years. Those are things that you sit in, that you may be in a season with that you're looking for, searching for those answers. You may be parenting teenagers like Tim and I are, and you're constantly searching for the right answer, the right path, the right direction to point them to, wishing they were always 100% of the time listening to you, never talking back. Can I get an amen? Never having a disagreeing word, but always, always considering everyone else, anybody, those teenagers. We love you. We love you. We love you. But we want to know. Sometimes in our job, maybe we're looking to excel or grow. We're looking for the promotion. We're looking for someone to notice. If you are a student in here, you're at school and you're looking for your coaches to see how hard you're working. You're looking for your teachers to take note. You're looking to just get through the school year. We got 3 weeks left. Is everybody excited about that? You're looking, you're searching for something. And so how can we relate to her? She's searching and searching and searching for answers to her problems. And so what does it say in verse 26? I think it said that she was looking, suffering a great deal under the hand of many, many, many doctors. So we see the result of her search. The Bible says she spent every last penny she had on an answer. Just imagine that for a moment. So now she's forced into a life of isolation, complete isolation. She's now spent everything. So imagine waking up and you think, okay, today I heard that doctor is coming through. I'm gonna try to get on the road that I'm gonna try to travel over to where he's going through. I'm gonna try to talk to him and see if he has any ideas of how he could help me. This is her life. Every day, maybe she wakes up the next week and she thinks, I'm going to try a different strategy today. And then, you know, there were days that she woke up and she had no energy. She was in pain. She was hurting. And she just laid there, right, in isolation. But she's looking. She's searching. She spent every last penny she had. If you've ever been at a place of financial destitution, you know how stressful that alone can be. How much pressure does that apply on you internally when the money has run out? And here she is sitting with that. She's sitting with this isolation and loneliness. We talk a lot about community here at GM. We talk a lot about how important it is to have people in your life, and everyone that she knows has left her. Everyone. There is no community. There is no one to turn to. There is no one to cry with. There is no one to lean on. There is no one to depend on. She's just sitting there alone. And instead of anything in her life getting better, it actually says she just got worse. So imagine you have a day. Anybody ever have a day when you say to yourself, I can't do this one more day. I cannot live like this one more day. Has anybody ever thought that? And you sort of wish somebody would see you in the midst of that pain. I can't live like this anymore. It's too much. So the result of her searching for all of these answers was nothing. She spent all the money and she's completely alone. So we've established that we've got a problem, right? We have a problem here that maybe we find ourselves searching without solution. And that's what we want to do, is read her story and see how we can see ourselves in this, searching without solution. So what would be the question that we must ask? We've got to find a solution. What are we going to do about it, right? Let's read on in verse 27. Bring those verses up, 27 through 31. When she heard about Jesus, here he comes, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I could be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? I love the disciples. Don't you see all the people crowding around you? And yet you asked who touched you? They're like, really? Really? Right? They're like, really, Jesus? There's a million people around you. And here we have the solution. Her solution is find this man, Jesus. This is point number two. Whoever this guy is that everybody's talking about, I have to find him. I have to get to him. And maybe she convinces herself, if I can just, you know, maybe if I can talk to him, you know, that he could help me, if I could explain everything. Well, that wasn't her solution. Maybe if I could just be there and he could see me as he's coming, that he would notice me. If he's a miracle worker, he could see that I have an issue just by looking at me and he would help me. That wasn't her solution. Her solution was, if I can just touch the hem of his outer cloak, maybe that would work. Imagine that being your solution and your strategy. That's how far, how end of the rope that she was. But she knew whatever he had, she needed. And isn't Jesus always the solution to every problem? Can we say amen to that? He is the solution to every problem that we have. Yet we find ourselves searching for all of these physical answers out here, right? How can we relate to her? We go searching for all of these things when really the answer is right in front of us. We go searching for physical answers to a spiritual problem, right? If we look at her personifying us spiritually, maybe we can see ourselves with her. But in her mind, she's like, they say he heals people. They say, maybe there's a chance for me. Maybe he could answer all of the questions I have about raising kids. Maybe he could give me favor in my job. Maybe, just maybe, I could have a happy marriage. Maybe I could break the cycle and not pass down the traits that were passed on to me. Maybe abuse in my family could stop with me and that wouldn't pass on. Maybe Jesus, who they say can heal, can be the answer to my problem. Can he help me? Ask yourself that. Can he help me? Of course, we know the answer is yes. And as we've talked about the 107 in here for the last few weeks, the 107 represents those that need Jesus maybe and haven't realized it yet. Those that are out there wandering and searching that have met him, that have wandered far away, the 107 needs Jesus. And if we know who he is and we know he can heal, it's up to us to take that to them. But the question she must have begun to ask herself is this: is the reach to Jesus worth the risk? Is the reach worth the risk? What she had to risk to get to him that day. Remember, she's living in isolation. She's been forced into this place where no one is allowed to interact with her. So now she's got to go into town, right? She's got to go on a busy, crowded street and somehow get to him unnoticed. Because if she's caught, it could mean death, it could mean stoning, it could mean any number of things. So she's got to risk herself, put herself literally in the middle of the people that have ostracized her, and walk right into the middle of them and find this man, Jesus. So she goes and she waits. Let's read verse 30 and 31 once again. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. That's an important phrase. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And here's the disciples. There's a million people around you. What do you mean, who touched your clothes? And he knows that something has happened, right? He knows that power has been transferred from him to someone. He just doesn't know who. So imagine he's looking around. Who was it? And he's searching and he's searching. And there's all these people oblivious to anything that he's thinking. Only his disciples have clued in that something is going on. And they're kind of out of it. Don't you find the disciples? They're funny, right? They're always kind of three steps behind him. Anybody ever think, the disciples, they were kind of dumb, right? And then we ask ourselves, well, I guess I'm kind of dumb too. They kind of represent us. But here's Jesus. He knows something miraculous has just happened. He knows exactly what has happened. He just doesn't know who it's happened to. He's looking around and everyone around him is completely and totally focused on him. He is focused on the one. He is focused on the one who's needed healing. So he's looking, and he finally locks eyes with her. Imagine that moment. Imagine the moment. Verse 31, Jesus kept looking. And then the woman in verse 32, she knew what had happened to her. Because what? Because she knew immediately when he touched her, the problem had literally been released from her body. She came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him everything, the whole truth. I can imagine she just started spilling out all the details. It's been 12 years, all the things, because women, we have a lot of words. We have a lot of words. Yes, we do, especially if you're an I personality. You got adjectives for days. You can describe anything. My husband said, yes, amen, stop telling me long stories. So 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Here she sits in the middle of this crowd of people who have ostracized her. She's trembling, and as her hand reaches out, imagine she's shaking, thinking, if I can just touch his cloak, maybe that would work. And then she looks up at him as she knows that he knows that she knows, and they lock eyes, and still trembling with fear because she doesn't really know what's going to happen. Because it was a maybe that she came here today. Maybe, as they say he can heal, that he could give me that. Maybe, just maybe, he would give me part of that and it would work. The crowd is packed, it's shoulder to shoulder, and she's on the ground looking up at him, and he says, daughter. So imagine the look from Jesus. Daughter, you're healed. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. As we put ourselves in the place of this woman today, imagine what that would be like. Maybe there's a need that you have, a season of searching and suffering that you're sitting in that no one knows about. If you look on the outside, no one would know. There's a struggle. You find yourself looking for Jesus because you've heard of him. Clearly you've heard of him, you're here. But there's marriage issues. There's depression issues, there's addiction issues, there's kid issues, there's things, there's cracks, there's some suffering. And maybe, just maybe, this man Jesus could be your answer today. Would you bow your heads? I wanna wrap up. It's not a super long sermon today. Because I would submit to you that there's a reach that God responds to. And the reach is that of belief. The reach that God responds to is one of belief. And the nature of God desires to heal. The nature of God desires to bring about healing in our lives. The band can come out. God's desire is so deep to fix our brokenness that the power went out of him without him really choosing that. Isn't it incredible that God allows us our futile attempts to get to him, right? He allows us those things, yet at the same time, he's constantly parading past us, waiting and ready to meet every need that we have. His love calling out to us, his grace all sufficient. That I know you've tried other things. I know there are things you wish you had. I know there are answers you long for, and I am the one that you need. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. God, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord, as we tell this woman's story today, that you would be the answer we need as you were the answer for her. Maybe, just maybe, our season of searching and suffering could end. Maybe, just maybe, we could be relieved and free from all of that, God. As we've been talking about in this room in the last few weeks, as the men discussed last week at men's retreat, God, and in the conference that they went to, they've come back to lead their homes. As women, as we celebrate mothers today and womanhood, Lord, that we would stand before you, each one of us, in a common place of need. And we would say out loud to you, you are the answer. You're the solution. This man, Jesus, is the one who can bring it to an end. Let's worship him today.